Amen, and good morning. I thought we were done with our wind on Friday. Got up this morning and I heard, thank you, sir. Today I really need it. The water, that is, not the wind. Although we do need the wind. Wind is an amazing thing. I remember about 20 years ago when a weather specialist told me, you know what wind and all this stuff is? You know what it all is? It's just the earth trying to reach equilibrium. It's entropy, and it's a second law of thermodynamics in progress, that everything is trying to settle down, everything is trying to calm down, but you end up heating up one side of the earth with the sun, and the other side is trying to recover from just being heated up, and you turn the thing around, you heat up the other side, and the other side is cooling down, and that process of heating and cooling and tilting and whatever keeps the thing just swirling and swirling and swirling and swirling. It's all just trying to settle down. It's all trying to become all the same temperature, all the water, all the air. If the sun would stop that shining stuff and we would stop rotating, it would all settle down into one temperature. And by the way, the middle of the earth is hotter than the surface of the sun, so that kind of stirs the pot up a lot. But it cleans as the wind blows, refreshes. And of course, there's hardly anything prettier than clouds going across a blue sky on a sunny day. So we get a lot of joy and a lot of blessings and a lot of care out of what the weather does. I'll just start this week's memory verse, if you'll turn with me. This week's memory verse is in 2 Corinthians. I didn't know how many were listening and listing until we didn't announce it last week. And Mark Keller came running up to me and said, "What's the memory verse?" And I said, "Well, I didn't, I wasn't," and the announcements got happened. And he said, the classes downstairs are leaning on your memory verses. I got to have it. Got to tell them. So we're not going to do that again. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, therefore, we beg you on Christ, on the behalf of Christ. I got to get it right because it's a memory verse. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. My memory verses were done early in my Christian walk, a lot of them, from the New International Version. And so my brain defaults to many of those while I'm trying to teach out of the New American Standard. So I go back and forth, kind of like learning the wrong language. Nothing wrong with NIV memory verses. Just trying to teach. So we're going to continue down this, and by the way, we have a sheet that we're putting together, and so that as the children, any member, gets your memory verses, you come to somebody else, and you say your memory verses to them, and they initial off on it, and we will keep a record, and keep a progress report, and keep a piece of encouragement that we can make these verses from God part of our mind, part of our thoughts, part of who we are. Today we start in Galatians chapter 6. Thank you for the reading. Reading was provided by Boy Scout Troop 367. And we do host a Boy Scout troop. We are a hosting organization for Troop 367. And despite the political football that Boy Scouting was attempted to be made of last year and in years past, the essential elements of what scouting is and the quality of the young men working with us remains. And so we're glad to do that. And we have a good group of young men, good group of adult leaders and boys that are part of the troop. And they wanted to be here today. Some of them wanted to be here with you today as a thank you. And Isaac gave that thank you at the beginning of our service tonight. Tonight. Today. What time is it? I've never regularly spoken at night. I have no idea where that came from. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Now, we're not surprised by the voice or style or attitude of the way the Bible talks to us. The Bible talks to us in instructive tones, in command tones. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. That's a command phrase. You who stand in Christ, help out the guy or the gal who's struggling in Christ. That's a command. That's a piece of instruction given to us. Lord, what do you want me to do? Here's what you do. And what God is passing on to us is responsibility. He's passing on to us an accountability to do a job. That's what the responsibility is, that you are accountable to get something done. Or, on the flip side, accountable not to do something, because that's the way the verse ends. The verse starts with, you reach out and help that person next to you who's having a hard time. You restore them. Pick them up. Put your arm around their shoulder. Talk to them. Engage with them. And stand them up again next to you. And then the end of the verse is, but watch out yourself that you don't get pulled into the same thing. So there's a responsibility, and both sides of it are given in this one verse. A responsibility to act and responsibility not to act. Because what responsibility really is the accountability for everything you do and for everything you don't do. If you look back at the word responsibility, its core or base is response. Respond. To respond to something. It's the ability to respond. Now, back to its origin, the etymology of the word, it's the accountability to answer for something. To answer for something. You've seen the scenes, you've been involved in the situations, the whole group is brought together, said, all right, you know, somebody did something wrong. Who did it? Come on. Somebody broke the window. All right, one of you guys threw a rock and broke the front window. Who was it? And the group stands there and they shuffle their feet and they go back and forth. Well, the response, the answering for it, is at the core and the essence of what responsibility is. You say, I did it. You stand up and you step forward. You say, I'm the one who threw the rock. Now, we know that the reality of the situation is almost always, but I threw the rock because he threw a rock first, and I wasn't trying to throw it toward the house. I was trying to hit him over there, but he ran, and so I had to lead him a little bit. You know, that's the story, right? And of course, as parents in the room, we say to the kid who threw the rock and broke the window, we say, oh, well, then that's okay, right? That's perfectly fine. What we'll do now is we'll go in the backyard and we'll rig up a beanbag because we don't want to hit people, and we'll slide it across the backyard, and you practice throwing rocks at it so you can lead the beanbag well and hit it on the fly, okay? That's what we're... No, we don't say that. You don't say that. You say, when you picked up the rock, you were wrong, right? When you pulled your arm back and aimed it at him, you already had the weight of the issue on your shoulders. And of course, the other guy, running to make sure he doesn't get hit in the head by a rock, you know, runs to safety and heads to the house. And so when you took aim, even if it was poor aim, even you took aim, you owned it, man. You owned it. It's all on you. But he threw... It doesn't go that way, does it? In a fight, who always gets in trouble? In a punch and punch back, who always gets in trouble? The second one, right? So if you're going to punch somebody, be the first. No, that's not the message. We're not surprised by this. This is not rocket science. We got some rocket science from Gary on the stars and the satellites and the micro nuclear power plants and all the, you got your rocket science today. This isn't rocket science. This is simple accountability. You and I respond to who we are and what we've done and what we haven't done. I remember being told and trained in the military that the senior guy in the team, the commander, the squad leader, the platoon leader, the senior guy is responsible for everything his unit does and fails to do. You got a team of three guys or five guys or a section of eight or 12, you are responsible for everything you do and everything you don't do. And by the way, the responsibility of the team leader doesn't stop when everybody goes home at the end of the day. Some guys got a drinking problem, they call on the squad leader. How come your guy's dealing with this? You didn't know about it. So the squad leader takes on the responsibility that goes all the way across his entire section, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You got to be kidding. That's the way the military handles it. You're responsible for the people you work with. And you take it as a full piece of responsibility. We teach it to our children. You're responsible for what you do, and you're responsible for what you don't do. Mom, can I watch the Olympics now? Is your room clean? I put away my socks. That wasn't what I asked you. Well, I shoved my clothes under the bed. Oh, well, then that's okay. You can watch the Olympics. No. You failed to fulfill the responsibility. When it's clean, give me a call. I'll look at it, and then you can watch the Olympics this afternoon. Now, we do two huge mistakes in the area of responsibility. One thing we do is we blame. The other guy threw the rock first, and then he ran to the house. That's why. You see, it's not my fault. If he had stood still, I'd have hit him out in the middle of the yard, and it wouldn't have broken. It's not my fault. Blaming started in the Garden of Eden. So it's nothing new, and we shouldn't be surprised. And neither should we let ourselves get away with it or those we teach get away with it. Our children, or each other. Ah, blaming is so easy. It's not my fault. I was in a bad situation. It's not my fault. The other person told a lie and I had to cover up for him. It's not my fault. There was too much work to do. I couldn't do it all. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. We're not of that cut. We don't blame others. It's a human failing. It's what Adam did when God said, God asked him what he had done, and he said, well, the woman you gave me, she offered me the fruit. When he asked Eve, she said, well, the serpent. See, blaming has started all the way back then, and it was wrong then, and they didn't get away with it, and it's wrong now. We are responsible for things we do. And the other mistake is the assuming other people's responsibility, the overextending of yourself. No, I've got to take care of it. No, I've got to take care of that too. No, that's on me. And you end up owning or buying in or pulling in everybody else's responsibility. It's an overburden. Now, in Galatians 6, in verse 5, we have a clear statement on responsibility. Each one will bear his own load. But then you've got verse 2, which reads, bear one another's burdens, and there fulfill the law of Christ. Those are not contradictory statements. The bearing your own load is a manageable load you can carry. It's a bag, a pack, an arm load of this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to take care of this. The burden in verse 2, it is a mountain of weight. So if your brother or sister is overburdened, if they are swamped because they have overburdened themselves and they're taking on things that are overwhelming them, that's where we step in. And they say, get rid of some of this stuff off of you. Come on, let's work together. That overburden is where we come in together. We are not supposed to do this alone. We are not supposed to do this alone. We are not supposed to take this walk alone. God has worked hard to make sure we are not alone. He told Adam way back at the beginning, it is not good for man to be alone. That's not just marriage he's talking about. It's not good for man to be alone. Loneliness is awful, but it's also slowly destructive. And it makes life really unmanageable. We're not supposed to be alone. He's given us marriages. He's given us parents. He's given us towns. He's given us churches. He's given us governments and nations. We're not supposed to be alone. But we are supposed to take care of our responsibilities. I always like to pull these things in a bit into scouting because I'm impressed with what the organization does with young boys and young men's minds. It says to them, a scout is, you know it, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. That's a good list. That's a good list to go down for any one of us to say about ourselves. I am, and you could say, I am to be trustworthy and loyal and helpful and friendly and courteous and kind and obedient and cheerful and thrifty and brave and clean and reverent. But it says something more than just what the ought to be's are. It says you can be. See, one of the things about responsibility, whether it's homework or office work or yard care or marriage repair, it says you can. It says you can. And it's an important message to give to our children who kind of believe they can't. And when we do things for them or take things from them in the area of responsibility or take responsibility off their shoulders, I'm sorry, I didn't train you in rock throwing well enough. It's my fault the window's broken, not yours. We're telling them they can't. You can't control yourself, so I'll put it on my shoulders to control me. And the child goes, oh, great, okay, good. I'm glad it's your fault the window's broken. I thought I was going to get in trouble. It says you can. And in Christ, Christ says you can. Anything he needs you to do, you can do. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Philippians chapter 4. I can. I can. I can. Whatever I need to do, whatever God gives me as responsibilities in these kinds of lists, I can. In verse 3 of Galatians 6,
For if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each must examine his own work. Look at that. It's exactly what we're talking about. Your preciousness, your value is in the can-do of Christ. Christ who came and bought you with his own blood. You look at your life. I got some things I got to repair in it. Well, then let's repair them. Let's strengthen the weak areas. You look at your own life. Don't just regard yourself as being awesome. Don't just regard yourself as being garbage. You examine your own life and situation. You're responsible. God holds you responsible. The state of Alaska holds you responsible for everything you do and everything you don't do. For everything you say and everything you don't say. For everywhere you go and everywhere you don't go. All over the country, coaches and teachers primarily try to teach their teams and their players, don't go anywhere after midnight. Nothing good happens after midnight. And you hear about the situations, well, there was a bar fight down to such and such, and this player and this player from Team X were caught up in this, and all of a sudden the embarrassments and the trouble rolls all the way through the person, the team, the coach, the institution, everybody involved. In the same way, we carry the name of Christ with us. We carry the name of our families with us. So when Paul says, and he writes, examine yourselves, examine your own work, you're responsible for where you go. You're responsible for where you don't go. Well, I didn't go see him. You see, I was busy last week, and I was... We're responsible for what we don't do. I was thinking of examples of these kind of responsibilities, and the best one I could come up with is I have a bad weakness, a habit of being late to things. I can show up 5 minutes late to anything. If you move it a half an hour later, I can still show up 5 minutes late. And I always have good reasons. And then I'm driving there, and I'm embarrassed in my mind, and I'm thinking about it. I go, oh, I should do this. I shouldn't have that phone call. And that, no, it's me. It never stops being my responsibility. It never stops being my responsibility. We're responsible for what we do and what we fail to do. We're responsible for what we say and what we fail to say. We're responsible for where we go and where we fail to go. And in a qualified way, we're responsible for what we know and don't know. Repeatedly in the New Testament, when Paul and others example up their prayers, the prayers are for growth in knowledge. I pray that you will grow in the knowledge of our God and Father. Prayer is for wisdom. So what we know and what we think is our responsibility. Bob did a beautiful job Wednesday night. Bob Garrett taught the Wednesday night devotional here on foul language. And he used a scripture saying, take thought every captive. Take thought every captive. We are responsible for what we think in qualified ways. I understand that. There's a qualification there. But you're still responsible. And then one step away from that, still qualified, is you're responsible for your feelings. Feelings do not lead the way, and don't let them lead the way. You're not going to feel your way to better actions, but you can act your way to better feelings. You're not going to self-esteem your way to better behavior, but you can behave yourself to better self-esteem. When you see the value of yourself, and Galatians right here is right in the middle of that. Each one examine his own work, verse 4, and then he will have the reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard of another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share good things with the one who teaches him.
Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. You see, the reward side of the responsibility. You may do exactly the right thing. You may stand up and take the responsibility of yourself. You may grow well in the Lord and still get kicked in the teeth. And still may have a tough time because other people don't appreciate what you're doing or what you're trying to do. But God knows. And for when we take responsibility of our own life and take responsibility for our own walk and take responsibility for our own omissions, God says, I'll give you a reward. I'll give you a reaping of exactly the way you're living. We can fool ourselves. We can fool those around us, either with empty lives or misguided lives, but we're not going to fool God. We will reap what we sow. We will reap what you sow. It doesn't work any other way. You're not going to sow apple seeds and get onions. It doesn't work that way. You're not going to sow a devil's club and get apple trees. We sometimes want it to work that way. I want to just do what I want to do, but then I want lots of rewards in my life. I want not to be bothered by other things, but then I want people to like me. I don't want to work hard, but I want a job that pays a lot. The Bible is filled with stories down the areas of responsibility. Everything from the Good Samaritan, the priest passed by, he had a responsibility to that guy on the road. He let it go. The Levite passed by. He had a responsibility to the beaten guy on the side of the road. It was the Samaritan who took the responsibility on himself and took care of the guy. We have a responsibility in this life for all that we say and all that we do. And we have additional responsibility in our mind and in our heart for what we think and what we know and what we feel. It's a joy to work in this kind of environment, in which not only does God lay out for us our expectations, but he lays out for us his Son who died so that we could walk in him. And then in his Son, he gives us the power that Gary was talking about earlier, and the daily power of being able to overcome these weaknesses. And then he gives us this group of people who love one another and dearly, in heartfelt ways, want to walk better themselves and want to lift up one another. And in time after time after time, when somebody has stepped forward here and said, I need help, nobody turns their back. You guys flood down forward. You wrap them up. You pull them off to the side. You say, thank you so much. Had people come to me recently and said, I'm really working on things. I see so many people who are so devoted to walking better lives. I can't let them down. And I've been motivated to do it myself. It's so encouraging. It is so powerful when we take on to ourselves the responsibilities that Christ has given to us and take the walk with joy and with seriousness. Thank you so much for being together. We have a responsibility to Christ also to respond to him, a responsibility to answer to what he's called us. And he has called us to return to God through him. If any this morning are ready to be baptized in Christ, or if you have any other need that we can help you with, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.